Welcome to episode 5 of the Sanlam ESG Barometer series, where we're going to be digging deep into a critical issue. And this one is about the SDGs. My name is Andile Khumalo, and I'm your host as always. The theme for today is, so we won't reach the Sustainable Development Goals by 2030, so what now? According to the United Nations, the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development is an ambitious framework that includes, as you probably know, 17 SDGs that are designed to address global challenges from poverty to inequality to climate change and many others. However, recent reports indicate that we are all falling short of these goals. A 2023 UN report revealed that progress on the SDGs has been severely hampered by factors such as COVID-19, geopolitical tensions, all of which are resulting in a global economic contraction that is threatening to reverse some of the hard-won gains of recent years. The stories are very different in South Africa. The stories are very different in other parts of our continent. What do we do now? Joined in the studio here by two distinguished guests, people that are living the passion of this particular theme of sustainable development goals. First up, she is the head of ESG and impact at Sanlam Investments. I'm talking about Ms. Tebogo Makhabane. She's been at the forefront of integrating ESG principles into investment decisions. Thank you so much for joining us, Tebogo. And also joining us is the executive director at the United Nations Global Compact Network South Africa. This is Dr. Achieng Ojwang, who's obviously got extensive experience in fostering partnerships to achieve these SDGs that we are clearly struggling to achieve. So let's get into it, ladies. Thank you very much, first of all, for joining me. I really do appreciate it. Time with you is always valuable. Question number one, I want to go to you, Tebogo. I mean, the barometer delved into this theme. I'm keen for you to please share with everybody listening the key insights that came from this year's report about the challenges that companies are actually facing in meeting these SDGs. What are the issues?
Sure. Well, thanks for inviting us to the podcast, Andile. Well, to answer your question, let me say I'm going to break, just try to have broad categories for companies. So maybe the first category will be leaders, companies who've got it right. They know what they're doing. They have a clear alignment of SDGs and their ESG strategy is very clear. It has risks and opportunities. And then there's the middle part, which is companies who have the desire, don't have all the know-how, still trying to figure out when they think of ESG, they only think of it from a risk perspective, but they haven't thought of what are ESG opportunities are there and how can I link them to SDGs and choose specific SDGs for them. And the last category, which is not that many companies, we'll say the laggards, haven't started, not there yet, don't consider SDG. But I think from research and participants, most of them are in that middle category. And the challenge is that, is when you look at your business, you're thinking, how does my product or service align to SDGs? And how do I treat this ESG as well in terms of framework, disclosures? How do I translate it to like opportunities, SDGs? And also, I mean, the ESG skills or professionals, they're very expensive. So a company has to like also spend money and hire those expensive skills to help them navigate, right, do some training. Otherwise, they get consultants. So they're on a journey, but there's a lot of work to be done. There's capacity building, there's initial investments. And I think those are the challenges for that middle portion of companies.
Got you. Dr. Ojwang, I have to come to you and ask, on the back of what Tebogo is saying, has that been your experience and observation? Is this what you're seeing from the UN perspective, these kind of challenges being, let's call it, most of them being in this middle stratum where there's absolute commitment, but there's some difficulty? And if so, what kind of initiatives have been implemented to try and assist these companies and society, I guess, in general, to accelerate their ability to meet the targets? And lest I say, could the target be the issue? Maybe 2030 was too soon.
Thank you, Andy. And Tebogo is right. We have companies that are emerging as leaders in this, beginning to really understand and begin scaling and balancing, understanding the risks that comes with inaction and the opportunities that come when they really open up to investing on the SDGs, to really integrating them into strategies, into operations. And right now we are saying supply chain is a big one as well. You have to go beyond just your immediate operations, right? And so your initial question was the SDGs, we are not meeting them. So what now? And, you know, in ordinary times, we would ask companies to really integrate them deeply, understand them, integrate them, you know, make sense of them and then drive them. But these are not ordinary times. So we are behind. We are only achieving, I think, as at a couple of months ago, 17%. And if you look at how far we have come from 2015 and the few years remaining to 2030, even if we doubled that, we would still be at less than 35%.
Yes.
Percent. And so for us at the UN Global Compact, because what we do is support companies to scale, understand, accelerate, you know, work on the SDGs, we've gone back to the drawing board and we are saying, if it's not happening, we have to rescue the SDGs. We have to find those levers. What are those goals that if companies went out big on them and faster, they would have a multiplier effect on the rest of them? These are not ordinary times. And so we've put out 5 areas globally, and they're quite relevant for South Africa with very, very clear targets. We are saying the SDGs are about inclusion. SDG 5 is about gender equality. And we've just put out 2 KPIs globally and asking business, by 2030, you should have completely transformed your leadership and executive structures. That is achievable.
Right.
I'm sure that is achievable even in the next maybe 5 years. I think we still have about 6 years to 2030. We are looking at the living wage. And we are saying, let's move beyond the minimum wage. And let's, you know, think about remuneration in very transformative terms. And if you are able to pay the living wage, we are empowering people.
Yes.
And this is will help to, you know, drive the SDGs more holistically. And then also try and understand how your supply chains can also, employ or put the living wage forward as their target. By 2030, we are looking at climate action with very, very clear KPIs. Water resilience with very clear KPIs. And I think the big one, the other one which is big, is on sustainable finance. That is a great lever that companies can employ right now to drive the SDGs. So we are saying we have to go back to the drawing board, and we have, put out guidance.
Right.
And right now we are on that advocacy drive, and we want as many companies as possible to understand that these are not ordinary times.
So there are 17 in total. There are now 5 priorities. And these 5 priorities have got very clear KPIs. So they are targets and they are numbers that I, as a South African company, should hit by 2030.
Absolutely. And we are asking companies to make a commitment. Go and pick the 2 that you really want to drive. Because I think 17 of them are all relevant. They are overwhelming. So I think it's okay. It's okay for companies to prioritize. So what are those 5 key areas where we can drive big impact a lot faster? And that is what we have to do.
Let me ask you, I mean, for Sanlam, when you look at the business that you're in, when you look at the things you and your team wake up and think about every day, primarily, yes, of course, you want to think about all 17. But I think Dr. Zhuang makes the point that there's going to be priorities. What are those for you?
Yeah, I think Dr. Zhuang is correct. Also mentioning leadership and structures. When you think of priorities, it's helpful to everyone. Every company understands their business and what you do. So you also have to, they have to be related to your business. Because if they're not, you're going to put more resources to work outside your everyday operations. We are Sanlam. We are a financial services company. We have insurance and we offer investments. Financial inclusion is an obvious one. If you look at our products, also our funeral insurance, what the market that we're servicing. You know, where are they? How much can they afford? You look at affordability and those KPIs. So it's key for us to immediately identify that as a goal that we can achieve. But we need to go beyond that. So the nice thing is, as you mentioned and Dr. Jean said, the SDGs have KPIs in them. They have indicators to show you, like, how can you meet them? What are the things that make you? So they're not just standalone. So you work with those KPIs and indicators and say, these are the indicators I want, and this is how I can measure them. And just maybe companies to push it further is that set short-term, medium-term, long-term goals, and then align them to your incentives, to remuneration. We've seen companies do that. That's a strong commitment and a clear one that, you know, if I meet this, this would be my short-term incentive and long-term, and this is how it's impacted. I think that's going fully in to how committed you are to that.
You know what? One of the key takeouts, certainly for me, in all the conversations I've had with you both around SDGs, is SDG 17 around partnerships. And, you know, in South Africa, certainly, and in Kenya, we have two economies that are quite blessed by having very robust industry bodies and business bodies. But inevitably, competition sets in, right? You're not going to have the number one and the number two banking companies suddenly want to do work together every other day. They will only do that if for whatever reason, they are convinced that together they are stronger than apart. So, Dr. Zhang, I'll be interested that in the South African context, what has the UN and business in South Africa done to foster more partnerships? Because I often think that there's a lot of siloed thinking in something like, for example, a financial inclusion. That's not a Sanlam issue. You know, that's not any of their competitors' issue. That's a South Africa issue. And I would go as far as saying that's an Africa issue. But I don't often see certainly things in the media or things that are certainly open to the general public where I see the industry partnering to deliver a developmental outcome. I'd often see our products from the one and another product from the other. And for them, those are proof points that they are working towards a goal. Well, what are your thoughts? And I'm definitely going to ask Devo Costos soon.
So that is where we're headed when you come down to the level of company or industry level collaboration. But we should not underplay or downplay that South Africa, in my view, is one of the top countries who know how to collaborate. Even if you look at collaboration between business and government, and we have so many examples. And I'm lucky that I come from different countries. I belong and I've lived in different countries, and nobody does it better. Nobody does collaboration better than South Africa. I know that sometimes we wait for triggers.
Yeah.
But South African business and government somehow have figured.
This is so nice to hear, Dr. Zhang.
Come together.
We don't often wake up feeling that way, but thank you.
It's absolutely true. We saw it during COVID. So we've seen it during the energy crisis.
Absolutely.
We are seeing it in the Transnet logistics space. We have seen it at the dawn of the democracy.
Absolutely.
Well, South Africa knows how to collaborate. Not many countries can pull that off. When it comes to the level of company or industry-to-industry collaboration, we recently put out the Voluntary National Review. And for the first time, companies themselves have prioritized SDG 17. And what companies are saying is that we have wasted opportunities. We need to be working more collaboratively in our spaces. And so we are hoping from now on, we are going to see more and more of those examples going forward. When the Global Compact Network South Africa helped to deliver the Voluntary National Review, we did it with BUSA as a strategic partner. PLSA was our strategic partner. The NBI is our strategic partner. The Minerals Council. So we are also saying, let us demonstrate that it's possible so that, you know, we are putting our, I don't know, mouths where their money is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Collaboration in financial services, Deborah?
Yeah, we're seeing it more because the risk is shared.
Yes.
I'll say, for example, on the investment side, we all investors into Sasol. And we know the risk they face in transitioning.
Yes.
And it's important that they transition. And all of us as shareholders have decided to come together and engage in one voice. So ordinarily, you would have separate engagements. But now we say, okay, let's share what are our priorities with Sasol. Where do we want to see them? And it's a strategic company in the country, and we want them to succeed. So how do we engage with them? What do we want to see them on targets? Once we've aligned as investors, we then together go to Sasol. I mean, at Sanlam, we've engaged together with All Mutual, 921, MNG, where we all just come together and say, let's go to these key investors who pose a real risk and see how can we help them transition.
Absolutely.
We all, you know, shared value as shareholders. We all benefit from that and the whole society. So I don't think it's risky not to, Absolutely. Especially in this climate.
I often think of SDGs like zero hunger. So when I read that coldly, I go, wow, United Nations, will we ever get to a world of zero hunger? But then you think, if business and government collaborated in a country like South Africa, because you know our land mass is not that big, you could eradicate hunger. It just is real planning, resourcing, logistics. You know, it probably doesn't need as much money as people think, but you could have a situation where no one sleeps hungry. Doc?
There's no reason why anyone in South Africa or on this continent should sleep hungry. So we have to identify those barriers. What is that is stopping us from just pulling together and feeding everybody in this continent? It comes back to the issue of collaboration. And now I'm talking beyond South Africa. In the continent, if we are collaborating as countries and looking at the strengths that each country brings, we will solve the energy crisis. And I know the Congo has always been put forward.
Yes.
They have the resources. Who is the big producer of food? And so as we are producing this one particular country that says, this is what I bring to the table. So through collaboration, I think we can solve most of the issues that we have in this continent.
Wonderful.
Including the infrastructure backlogs across the entire continent.
Absolutely.
The connectivity, the trading.
All right. So I've heard this conversation. I accept that we had 17% of the goals, but and chances are we'll probably miss them. What do I do now? I go back to my company. I might feel a little depressed. I might feel a little doubt, but I want to be encouraged. What does Demo tell me?
You know, I'm encouraged. I mean, we're far from reaching, you know, the goals by 2030. But if we look, I mean, the recent UN stats show that over generations, we've decreased the extreme poverty, although there's still high levels of poverty in Africa. But I mean, We can't celebrate that because there's still poverty, but it's hopeful. It shows us that, you know, we're on the right track. And we've acknowledged that things like COVID-19, the pandemic, you know, energy prices going up, food inflation, the climate risk, they've made it harder for us to progress. They've shifted us back. So there's also reason for that. And I think once we start singing the same tune, aligning, measuring, you know, business commit to the SDGs, investors align capital to SDGs they want to invest in, government policy, we create the climate. United, like we said, we can get there. We've had challenges, we've had some small wins, but there's still a lot of work to be done, but it's very possible.
What's your Dr. John?
Yeah, you know, just at the end of September, during the UNGA General Assembly Week in New York, we were there with several South African CEOs and business leaders. And I heard several of them say on the platform that we are encouraged by the political changes happening in South Africa. We are, you know, happy with the signals that is being sent out. And we are putting a lot more money. We are ready to invest. South Africa is ready for business. What I was hearing was from internally. CEOs or business leaders saying, we now feel that confident enough to put more money into South Africa, to invest more in South Africa. We want to see more of that investments and directed at those development priorities, just South Africa sits with at the moment.
And I really do like the point you raise about pick the ones that are in your groove as an industry. And 17 may feel overwhelming. Pick the ones that you can set out as the priority ones. And of course, there's enough data to help you achieve some of the KPIs that have been set.
And then, in that choice, even in the choices that we have made and put out as the UN Global Compact, those are the ones that we believe have the multiplier, will have the multiplier effect. So they're not narrow. The fact that we haven't chosen 17 them, not the issue. The issue is those five or those chosen ones can enable us to meet the rest as well.
Loud and clear. Dr. Zhuang, thank you so much. Tebogo, thank you so much for those valuable insights. Really important conversation. Big takeouts for me around collaboration, around prioritization, and around not losing heart that we are where we are. The world became a different place. We got the setbacks, but there's no reason why we can't keep pushing to achieve those. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us for episode 5. Episode 6 is next, and it'll be our final one. This one is a very interesting one. We've already spoken about the impact on the rest of the continent. We are focusing on ESG additionality in Kenya and the outcomes of the Sanlam ESG Barometer 2024 in that country. It was our first country that we went into outside of South Africa. We are hoping to cover every single country on the continent in years to come. So please join us for that one. But for now, see you next time.